All right, welcome everybody. It is Sunday, June 23rd, 2019. We are in our series, The Hallelujah Life. Today's message is Practical Steps to Praise. This is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen, and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he rose from the dead, and we thank you that he seats at the right hand of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that he is coming again, and we thank you, God, that we can learn to thank you in everything. We can learn to thank you. We can learn to pray continually, because even thanking you is part of the praying continually and praising you. We give you the glory. That's what we want to do today. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ to us, to reveal the truth of your word. Open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Having a tough time. It is very hot here today, and it has been the last couple of days. I mean, really hot for the end of June. I don't know. Anyway. But tough times, there's come in all different levels. From nuisance things to very serious things, as you know. So having a tough time, a bad day, in a bad season of life, things that can just, they just go on and on. I remember my cousin, who's much older than I am, came down once, and we were in just the beginning years of the 29 years of parent care, and for us, and we were several years in, and she's a wonderful person, active in ministry, writes children's books, and you know, has a thriving ministry of her own over the years. And she told me something that I really held on to, in addition to the Word of God, you know, and that was to look at this season of life as a parenthesis in my life. And it started with a parenthesis, and it goes along and along and along, but one day there would be the end parentheses. It would end, and then it would be over. And of course, my whole thing with my mother was she would always say, "This too will pass," and then I would say, "Yes, this will pass," and then there's a little reprieve, and then something else. But anyway, but that really helped me, the parentheses idea, for some reason, because I thought I was at the end of myself. I wasn't even close. It was just about 3 or 4 years in. I wasn't even close to the end of myself. But I didn't know that at the time.
Do you ever get there?
Where?
To the end of yourself?
I did, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yep. I nearly committed suicide, you know. I had, as a Christian, after teaching 16, 17 years.
I guess that's the end of yourself.
That was, I didn't actually go through with it, because I just told God, "I can't go one more day. You'll have to choose." I couldn't go one more day.
Yeah.
Emotionally, physically, all kinds of leaves at the end. But then I had to. My father died the next morning. And it seems terrible, and it seems very crass, but God made his choice. And my father died, and I lived. That's the way it was. and I had to do the funeral, and I had to take care of everything. And I wore white.
Good.
Because our God lives.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 provides us with some practical steps to praise. They're simply stated, but dynamic in application. Be joyful always. Be joyful always. Now, we sang a song that said rejoice, but the scripture says be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Some translations are going to say give thanks in everything. Two separate words. Give thanks in everything. So a lot of the translations say give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Be joyful, but always. That's easier to say than do. Nevertheless, God wants us to be joyful. He is full of joy, and he wants us to share in that joy. It's his joy. His joy. His joy is a source of strength. Nehemiah 8:10 talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength. But that's not our joy in him. That is his joy, the joy of the Lord. Who possesses the joy? He does. That joy is our strength. The joy that comes from him is a sustaining joy. And the Psalms speak much about joy. I'm just going to run through these. Psalm 5:11 says that all who take refuge in the Lord are to be glad, to sing for joy. Psalm 16:11 extols the Lord by declaring, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Who is at the right hand of God the Father?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, right. Psalm 30:11 promises, "You have turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." It's a garment, joy. Psalm 31:7 exhorts us to choose to rejoice and promises, "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction. I will rejoice in your love." So that gives us a focus that we should focus on the love of God and how that manifests. Not how much we love Jesus. Oh my goodness, my goodness. Our so-called love for Jesus will not carry us through the very, very tough things that life can bring. It will not. But his love for us will carry us through. You saw my affliction. Joy is commanded in scriptures. Even shouting for joy. We are to rejoice and be glad in the Lord, to exalt the Lord for saving us. When the going gets tough, exalt the Lord that he even had a plan of salvation. That there was even a way for anything to return back to the Father after the fall, and we were plunged into this estate of sin and misery. That's a technical term. The estate of sin and misery. We will yet praise him, for he is our salvation and our God. When we are cast down, we will yet praise him, who is the health of our countenance and our God. Even the mountains and forests and the trees are to burst into song. Read that. This is an interesting verse. Psalm 44, verse 23.
Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast this off forever. 44:23.
Oh no, this has to do with mountains and forests and trees. Maybe I got the wrong reference.
Psalm 144.
Well, in there somewhere, you can Google it. is the mountains and forests and trees burst into song. Did you find it?
No, I don't have it.
Oh.
Look up.
All right, we'll get back on that. We are to rejoice and be glad in the Lord, to exalt the Lord for saving us. We will yet praise him. He is our salvation and our God. When we are cast down, we will yet praise him. Okay. And then Psalm 89, verse 15 and 16 says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, the living God, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. So we learn to acclaim the living God, and we learn to walk in the light of God's presence. They rejoice in your name all the day long. They exult in your righteousness. So we are to exult in God's righteousness. So we have some practical steps we can take. We can ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to choose to rejoice and to believe God's promises. We know that God will bless us. We can realize that we learn to acclaim the living God. We can seek him for the ability to walk in the light of his presence, to rejoice in his name, and to exult in his righteousness. You found it?
I think so.
Okay.
Isaiah 55, 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Oh, okay. Well, I was way off there. I don't know what, how I got that out of it.
They might have a reference in there somewhere, too.
Yeah.
So
it is, and the reference is 1 Chronicles 16:33. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth.
Okay, so the creation groans and is waiting for that. All right. So I'll get that reference to afterwards. Okay. Thank you. Rejoicing in the Lord can be learned by meditating on the Word of God, on his attributes and ways, on who he is and what he does, by thanking God as we watch him work, by testifying with our God stories. I call them God stories, and our God stories that God gives us when we recognize that God is at work. He's always at work, but when we recognize and watch him work, as we call it around here, that encourages us, and we thank him for it, and we start thinking about who God is, what did he do, you know, how did he pull that off, we don't always know, but that leads to rejoicing in him. Okay, we can sing on our beds when we sleep at night and when we wake up in the morning. Now, let's read Isaiah 61, 1 to 3 and verse 10. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And 10?
Mm-hmm.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness.
Okay. Jeremiah 15:16 says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jesus wants his joy to be in us, that our joy may be complete. That's according to John 15, verse 11. The joy Jesus had could not be corrupted. Let's listen to Hebrews 12, verse 2. This is a joy that cannot be corrupted, can't be spoiled. Nobody's going to steal it from Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay. Paul endured much hardship, from shipwrecks to beatings to prison, yet he is known as the apostle of joy. Let's read Romans 14, verses 17 and 18.
For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men.
All right. Joy is one characteristic of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. In Philippians 3, Paul exhorts believers to rejoice in the Lord, and in Philippians 4, Paul provides the antidote for anxiety. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray properly with thanksgiving. Think properly. And then live properly. That's a breakdown of Philippians 4, where he starts off saying rejoice in the Lord always. And that is the antidote for anxiety. Joy is necessary to praise. My definition of joy is Jesus owns you. Because joy is not some fluffy feeling or some crazed dance where they do crazy dances, and that's the world's mimicking of happy joy and whatever. When God is happy, we're happy. When we're in a happy state, we feed our inner self deep down where we live. But it's Jesus owns you. Okay, because joy has, Jesus owns you is one of the ways that we overcome abusiveness. We are not possessed by the devil. Possession has to do with ownership. Jesus owns us. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We've been redeemed. And Jesus owns us. We belong to him. Jesus said of the Pharisees, I think it was, he says, you don't believe because you don't belong. But those who have been given, who were given to Jesus by the God the Father, belong to Jesus. And he owns them. He possesses them. And understanding that is, there was this song in a movie called The Three Wives Club. And of course they're coming at it not spiritually at all. But at the end of it, they show up and they're all in white. You know, they've just, the feminists decided white is the power color or something. And they come singing out this door or whatever. You don't own me, da-da-da-da-da-da, you don't own me. But for the Christian, it's true. But for the Christian, see, we can say that, we can say that with the devil, and we can say that with abusive people, you don't own me, you don't own me. See, Jesus Christ owns me. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I don't own myself. That's what people don't like. We're not, Jesus owns it. And even the ones that are of their father, the devil, over that, all in the plan, God's plan is God. Okay. So he is sovereign. The next step is praise, the next practical step, pray. Praying continually is more about being in a prayerful spirit or a prayerful attitude all the time, about having a Godward look, kind of like what we call look at God, a look at God life. Prayer is communication. It goes two ways. God speaks to us. We speak to God. Praying continually to me is knowing that he is with us always, going through the days of our lives with us, dwelling in us, coming alongside us, enveloping us with his presence and his love and the power of that. So He is there. I learned pretty early in my Christian life that, see, I always said, in the great crises of my life, my husband was never there. That's just the way it turned out to be. In the great crises of my life, my husband was not, he wasn't there in any of them. Stephen was there with quite a few of them, but it just turned out that Jim wasn't there. And I had to learn, that's how I learned, but who was with me going through everything, in everything, every circumstance, everything? The Holy Spirit is there. Jesus is there. The Godhead is there in everything. And we can give thanks in everything, because we are not alone. We're not really alone. And God's resources are vast, very vast. And so that's the way it turned out. And just to make sure, because at the beginning of our marriage, we were married 48 years, but I don't remember all the timing now, but I think right after we became Christians, you know, all this stuff started happening, and Jim got very sick and nearly died then. And in praying about all of that, not knowing very much, because even though I was raised in the church, it's different after you become a true believer. And I heard the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, that's the way it was and is. And really I don't remember the exact words, but it was from a scripture, but it was also, if I ever look to my husband to be a house band, would be a better way of putting it. Like provider, protector, you know, all of
A or my? A husband or my husband?
If I ever looked at Jim as, as being my house band, as provider, protector, the traditional role of a husband.
Yeah.
Okay. God would take his life. Because I was to only have God. I was all through, it was, you look to me. And I believed it. I have a very strong fear of the Lord, so I was always trying to be very careful of that. Not that Jim wasn't the head of the household, but it was the understanding that over the head of the household was God. And I was to look to the Lord. And even looking to the Lord to work through my husband. So for the first year, there was a year there, he didn't let me teach or do anything, Bible studies or lead Bible studies or anything. And I had to I did that because I knew I had to be under the authority for God to bless, ultimately to bless. And then he changed his mind one day. We were young. I mean, we were in our late 20s.
Maybe you needed to learn a little more.
Huh?
Maybe he needed to learn a little more.
Right. Had to try to catch up, right? But anyway, it changed, see? And then but I know it's very important to stay under authority. All right. But looking to the Lord. But that's what I heard. And then when I realized that, and of course I couldn't do that in my own strength, but when I realized that, then Jim lived. Believe me, the power of God, I've seen it a lot in my life, and I'm sure there's a lot more power than what I've seen. Jabez, about whom we hear little anymore, used to be really popular, Jabez and the prayer of Jabez, and then they had all kinds of products they were selling, and it got really, really popular. Okay, but it is a good example that prayer changes things. 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. The name Jabez means pain. Pain. This kid was a pain. he was named, I mean, it was really a curse. Built into his name is a curse. But God transformed him. We know this because his prayer was answered. So let's read 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. This is weird because there's all this begat so-and-so and begat and whatever, and in the middle of it, here comes these two verses. This whole list of people, you know, the lineage or whatever.
Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Behold, I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested.
All right. So there was pain at childbirth, and then he's cursed with a name that means pain. The constant reminder of the pain. This woman, now, a baby being born can't do anything about that. A newborn baby, I mean, they're just trying to get out, you know? And so, I mean, this was bad. But God transformed his life and his prayer was answered. God did turn the curse into a blessing. God blessed him. God enlarged his territory. God's hand was with him, and God kept him from harm so that he would be free from pain, and that he didn't want to be a pain. See? Maybe he heard it every day. Every time his mother called his name, it was a reminder to his mother and to him of what a pain he was. That's really tough on a kid. You know, you're a real pain. So anyway, there's some good books on that out there. In everything, give thanks. In everything. It's actually divided in some translations. In every space, thing. In everything. Other times it says, in every circumstance. Or in all circumstances. It doesn't really say that. But
it's just the Greek word is pas, it just means all.
All. It does mean all, yeah.
All or...
But in everything, give thanks. So whatever happens is for our benefit and for God's glory. That's what we need to focus on. Whatever happens is for our benefit and for God's glory. Now, this is an interesting thing that happened. I had written this message out, and... Friday morning I was working on this message, and I had written this out, and then I went to the post office to pick up the mail for the ministry mail. Okay. And in there was the most recent letter from Assemblies of God World Missions missionaries to Angola, Ron and Donna Mueller. And interestingly enough, their newsletter, their letter there, was on this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Wow.
About them learning in everything give thanks. Now, so I thought, okay, so I'm gonna share what they had to say about it. All right. They write that many of those in Angola face such difficult challenges in their daily lives, like malaria, typhoid fever, yellow fever, poverty, clean drinking water, lack of electricity, and education for their children, ... Quote, but regardless of their hardships and sufferings, they continue to rejoice in the Lord. How can we learn the secret of rejoicing in hardships, trials, and suffering? Okay. Oh, we have to turn the page to find out. Quote, during a long year of health challenges, after Ron's pancreatic surgery, we were challenged with learning this secret of how to rejoice in the Lord and in everything give thanks. It's a great truth, but when hardships, difficulties, and even sufferings come, how do we possibly rejoice? When all our plans are put on hold, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. That's not a complete sentence, but that's how they wrote it. How do we respond when we are facing health, relational, or financial problems? How can we give thanks in everything? The Lord is showing us that the secret is in two-letter propositions. In the two-letter proposition, in, I-N, in. We've been learning the secret and difference between in versus and for. It doesn't say to give thanks for everything or for all things, but in everything. Philippians 4:4 says to rejoice in the Lord always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 says we are to rejoice always and in everything give thanks. The always means on every occasion and in every set of circumstances. We are to give thanks in everything, not necessarily for everything. Last year, Ron's health challenges continued much longer than we had expected. It was teaching us to learn the secret of how to rejoice in the Lord. We know that God works all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We know that God is always good, and he has promised to never leave us. We know that in the trials, hardships, or difficulties that we may face and go through, God is with us, and God is at work to bring about perseverance, endurance, and the shaping of our character in Christ. Character takes time to develop. Just like we can't rush physical development, we can't rush the development of Christ's character in our lives. We can rejoice in the Lord always and give thanks, resting in God's faithfulness and that he is walking with us through the fire, valley, sickness, difficulties, and trials. God is at work in us and through us. There's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. It's an interesting thing. I'll stop there a minute. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. And I'll go on now. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop or a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Go generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And that is his take on Matthew 5:14-16. Okay. And that's unquote. So that's what they wrote in their newsletter. So I just decided to share that. So, all right. So rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God. People that say they want to know God's will, well, actually there's many places where God says, this is my will. Or he says, I would that you would, whatever. God's will is not unknowable. But here's how it goes. So in Thessalonians, I'll close with this. This is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-24. So rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And a reference there would be 1 John 4:1, where it talks about testing the Spirit. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Amen.
Amen.